Welcome back, everyone. The sales squad is here. Alex Lowe, marketeur extraordinaire, the guy that I ask everything marketing, and Simon Severino, your personal business coach. We are here to explore in these next 30 minutes one of the important decisions that you have to take, and we want to make sure you take the right decisions for you, because the difference will be the win rate. So the difference is chigging, or no chigging. How relevant is that? To me, super, super relevant, because we care only about one thing: your win rates going up and not down. So your win rates are influenced by a couple of things. One of them is if you have a sales script or you don't have a sales script. So the main, what do you actually have in a sales call? You have only the conversation itself. So what matters? It's the quality of your questions. And today we explore, should you have your questions written down, not written down, winging them, having them super prepared, having them in front of you? Let's find out. Take notes, everyone, in the next 20 minutes, because Le Marketeur Extraordinaire is here. So let's go. We will go pros and cons. I will be the guy who is in love with having a sales script, while the marketeur, he will say why it's better to not have a sales script. He's wrong. But we will find out why in a second. So let's start with having a sales script. Why do I love to have a sales script? Because if I don't have a sales script, I will lose the river and the stones in the river. So having a sales script is not writing down every single word. I mean, I'm winging even this episode here. I don't have an episode script in front of me. We have some talking points, and I barely look at them. But having some talking points is important. Why? You want the conversation to be 100% natural, yes, but you also want it to close a deal. Now, if you go 100% natural without having some stones in the river, the river will take you with it. So you will be carried away by the water. What's the water? It's the emotion of the situation. They tell you that their pipeline is dry. You will get sad and have a ton of empathy. They will feel absolutely understood. And you are both lost in the river. But if you have some stones in there, you might be able to still be in empathy, go with the flow, but from time to time you see, oh, here is a stone, here is a stone, here is a stone. So in front of me right now, as we are speaking, people listening to this will not see that, but I can tell you that behind me there is a yellow pyramid with 8 steps. And in front of me there is the exact 8 yellow pyramid with 8 steps. Those 8 steps are the 8 steps of closing a high ticket deal in the Strategy Sprints method. I have those in front of me. There are 3 questions for each of them. Plus, I have an AI right now in front of me that's checking off if I am going there. Sometimes I will skip a step. Doesn't matter. The AI will track if I come back and check that off. This is how I make sure that I have a river. Yes, I'm in the river, but there are also some stones in there that I remember to not skip. Because if you skip them, you will have a problem later. We are analyzing those sales calls and we are seeing win rates at 15% because they skip stuff. And we see win rates at 70% because they do the 8 steps in the right order. And they record their sales calls, they watch the tape, and they get better. But let's see also the other side. Let's discuss, Alex, what is terrible about having a sales script?
Yeah, well, those are some really good points. I mean, when I was thinking about this, what I was thinking of is that a lot of times what people think of as a sales script is an exact roadmap of what to say. And your metaphor of the river and the stones is really good, because I think it's about the structure and the strategy as opposed to an actual script. Because one of the things, a script can be a crutch, because people go, oh, well, what do I say in a sales call? What's my role? Well, it's much more important to ask, what do you want the other person to say? What do you want them saying? It's much more about them. In fact, the salesperson often becomes invisible in the call, And you focus so much more on listening to what's happening to them or what they're saying. And that's because you have a structure as opposed to a script. A script focuses on self and like, well, what do I say? What questions do I ask? What is it about me? Whereas when you have just more of a structure, it's much more focused on the other person, like what's happening with them. And you can be much more adaptable and reactive to them and their situation while having just enough of a structure as opposed to a script to do what you were saying before, keep out of the emotions.
I love how you say that the salesperson becomes invisible. Let's double click. Tell us about this invisible thing.
Well, it's a thing, isn't it? This came up when we were talking about pitching before. It's quite often when people start with either pitching or sales or marketing, it's very self-centered. Like, how do I get results? What do I want to say? What does my website say about me? What should I say in the sales call? And it's very much focused on self, whereas we often want to turn the lens to the other person. Like, well, what do they need to hear? What do they need to feel? What do they need to say to themselves? And then we just need to focus on creating the environment to say that. So a salesperson who's good, we had this in our community where somebody was saying they had a negative response to sales. Like when they were thinking about selling, it brought up negative emotions for them. And what we kind of realized is that because any time you have a bad sales conversation, you know that you're in a sales conversation. If you have a good sales conversation, you don't even realize it. It's a breakthrough. It's a moment when your life changes. It's the moment when things get better. So you don't put it in your brain under sales call. You put it under amazing transformational moment. So there, because for many of us, the only time we ever are aware we're in a sales call is when it's bad. So our notion of sales is like, oh, sales is bad, because we don't categorize the good ones under sales, because the salesperson becomes invisible and the focus is on the person having the breakthrough they need. So like they understand fully what they want. They understand fully why they haven't got it so far. They understand fully that it's something they can control and they have to control it and they have to make a decision. So everything's putting the focus on them and putting them in charge of a decision that they're going to make. Now, none of that or very little of that is to do with the scripting of like, say this question at this time. It's much more to do with them. Do they understand what they want? Do they understand why they've not got it? Do they understand what they need to do? So if we switch from thinking of scripting to thinking of structure and strategy, because also another pro for the non-script thing is that it's a much more genuine connection. When you're less focused on yourself and what am I saying, what am I doing, and much more focused on the quality of the relationship. Like, what does this person need right now? What's really going on with them? Because this often happens in sales or coaching, is that the person will say something, but you'll get the understanding of they don't really mean that. There's something else there. And being able to take it to another level. When you say X, can you tell me more? Like, it seems like there's something more going on there. I don't suppose you could share what's going on.
So oh, I love this. Let me double click. Yeah. Many times we hear, you know, I have to fill my pipeline. Mm. Ask them, what do you mean by pipeline? So whatever words they are using, you assume that you know exactly what they mean. Sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes when they say win rate, they mean something else than you mean. Sometimes when they say leads, I mean, the word leads itself can have 20 different ways of being used. Are they qualified? Are they not qualified? Do they meet your ideal client criteria? So whatever words they are using, it's a really good idea to go back to first principles. Like you are 7 years old and you are just asking, explain me what you mean by that. Double click, stop, back to you, marketeur.
No, that's a great point. Because it's like quite often when we're talking, particularly if it's in the business world, we get used to talking in jargon and abstractions. Partly because that's how the business world functions, but also partly because like we don't, if there are problems in our lives, we don't want to be thinking about them or own them. So we prefer to use jargon because it disassociates us from the problem. But if you're selling to somebody or coaching them or whatever, you need to move them from abstraction to their body, to the real world experience. So as you said, if somebody says, oh, I need more qualified leads for my pipeline, most of that is jargon. When you put it down and say, well, I mean, how's this affecting you in your day-to-day life? Can you give me a specific example? You move them from jargon into the real world, and you get them talking about their experience. And that's very different to, because you can't disassociate from that. You have to kind of own it. And then when you start asking, well, how long have you been like this, blah, 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 you take them into the experience of being in the world. And that's not in the realm of business jargon. So when we're talking about scripting, it's like, yes, it's good to have a structure, but it's a structure that leads the person deeper into their experience, because you can only make a congruent decision when you're in your body aware of all the facts. You can't make a good decision when you're just talking about jargon, because it's meaningless. It's literally theory, isn't it? It's like, I don't want to know the theory. I want to know what's going to happen in your life in 6 months if you don't make this decision, or if you do. Tell me what your day-to-day life is going to be like, but don't tell me about, you know, I need an ROI on my lead gen on the blah, 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 jargon, because that's just fluff. So I think that's an important point, as you said, to kind of highlight, because when it comes into scripting and when it comes into, well, what do they need to say and think and believe, because it's all about them, we get out of the realm of like, well, what is my script? And we get more into, what is my function to be able to help the person make a congruent decision, regardless of what the script says? What is my function in the moment, human to human, to help the person make a congruent decision? So I think it shifts gears a bit, doesn't it?
I'm thinking about buying experience. What have I been buying recently? And how was that experience? And I'm curious what you have been buying. So the most expensive thing that I was buying recently, last week, I was looking for my oldest son. We had a celebration for him, 50 people, and I wanted to have a celebration after the event. And I started thinking about locations and calling locations. And I have 50 people. This is what I want them to experience. Can you make me an offer? First location that I call, oh yeah, I can make you an offer, but I have to talk to my brother. And they didn't tell me when they make the offer, and they did almost not ask any questions. And they couldn't decide without their brother. I really felt not safe in that situation. I'm like, ah, they're not well organized. They cannot run a 50 people event. So next location asks a lot of questions. Would you like a buffet style or everybody sitting? And I wasn't thinking about that. They were thinking about the flow of, you know, do they want they to grab something or we to bring? And I was like, oh, it's the first time I'm thinking about that. 50 people, how long does it take? A la carte versus menu. Oh, menu is better because it's quicker. So they were asking questions, showing me intimacy with the event itself, because it's about timing and it's about the flow of things. I felt safe. I continued there. I asked them for an offer. It took quite a while. After 7 days, they didn't send an offer. I was like, oh my God, I'm not feeling safe again. So I called the third location. Third location didn't have the right room. So I went back to the second location. In the end, I booked the second location. But the point is, what made the difference? When was I feeling at risk versus feeling safe? It was the process of they being just basically organized in what they ask, how they ask, how they decide, and how they make an offer. And that is basically a script, even if you have it just in your head, but it's a script. So they knew which questions to ask. The other guys were just totally unorganized. And if you are not organized in the conversation, you will probably not be organized in the client delivery when it gets hot in the kitchen. Like 50 people coming at once, they want three different things. You know, it will get heated.
Yeah, I mean, you highlight a number of different areas there, and they're all important. Because partly it's asking questions is also then a way to sort of demonstrate expertise, but without bragging, isn't it? Because if you have a process or a menu of items, or you understand the issue a customer's facing, you can ask questions that demonstrate that understanding. And as you just said there, get you to think about things you maybe hadn't considered. Because if they're saying things to you like, oh, well, when we do this kind of event, some people like this, some people like that, which one do you think suits you? And you haven't considered that. Well, suddenly you're going, oh, well, this person, I feel safe. I feel understood.
They know their stuff. Know. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it's instead of feeling like you're being sold to, you're co-creating that package together. You feel like they, because they might suddenly say, actually, no, we don't cater those events or we don't do that. Let me refer you. Mm-hmm. So they're not asking necessarily from a you're going to buy perspective. It's more, what's the perfect experience for you? What are you really looking for? Because if they understand that, they can then match it or not. So as you said, in terms of scripting, it's not so much like, I need a sale, I'm going to ask questions that make you say yes, and da, da, da. It's rather, I need to understand your needs and make sure you understand your needs, more importantly, so you can make a decision. And the answer might be yes, it might be no, but we're still going to get very clear on what that looks like. Because it is the same situation, isn't it? I've been browsing for things before, and one of the things that lets you know that you're in a script is when people start to either ask it in a scripted way or give you an answer. I remember being on a call once to join a community, and the person asked me a good question, but then they started answering it. They were like, oh, so you want to get X, Y, Z. Can I just ask, like, why is that important to you? And it clicked in, my brain started whirring, and I started going, oh, you know, actually, that's a good question. Why is it important? But then they started answering before they're like, well, like, for example, is it your kid? Is it this? Is it that? And that can be useful in the right time, but that threw me off completely. And I'm like, oh, this isn't about me, is it? This is about you sticking to your script. So in that moment, so the thing about asking questions sometimes is you need to wait for the cogs in the brain to start whirring. Because they asked a question and my brain was like, oh, that's a good question. Let me think. But because there was a pause, the person didn't feel comfortable in the pause, so they started talking. So as well as asking questions or having a basic answer, be okay with having these pauses and silences. Because let me tell you something, the inside of the brain, they're not being silent, they're thinking. You've caused them to think. And so whatever script you have, you need to have the awareness that it's not just what you say, it's the pauses, the silences, the way you say it. And this isn't stuff that you can necessarily like just give me the script. This is the art that, say, people come to, you know, people like Simon to learn. It's not just like, oh, what do I say? It's what do you not say? How do you say it? When do you say it? Because all of that
stuff. Oh, my God. This silence. How many seconds can you be silent after you named the price?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Yeah.
Practice the Obama long silence, 16 seconds, 17 seconds. You say the price, you shut up. It's a good practice. Le Marketeur is in the house. That's why we heard so far the rigid guy, Simon the rigid guy with his 8-point scripts. And by the way, you want the 8 points, you go to strategysprints.com, you can grab them. But what if you want the other side, the invisible salesperson? And what if you want to know what Alex has been buying, Le Marketeur Extraordinaire, recently? I will ask him all of that after one word from our sponsors. What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com. I'm curious if you have been buying something and why.
Well, I mean, I was looking for a new gym recently, actually, and in my local area, and that meant it was quite good, actually, because that meant that I could go see several of them. And obviously, it's a decision where, because I like to buy things in bulk, so I'm like, well, I'm joining for the year, so that, you know, that's a bit of a financial outlay. But and it came down a bit to your decision of, I wasn't exactly sure. I knew kind of what I wanted, but I wasn't sure exactly. So, for example, like, okay, well, I need a bit of a program. I need a bit of PT stuff because I don't, you know, want to be making up stuff. I want a community. I want something that's within commutable distance. I want something that's got a lot, you know, a lot of good equipment. And I'd moved house, so I'd had a previous one that I liked, and I kind of wanted to match that. But once again, when I was actually going into places and seeing and talking to the people, the owners, the way that they were talking to me, like a lot of them weren't asking questions. They weren't trying to figure out what I needed. They were simply going, well, there's the gym, have a look around, blah, 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 blah. But one person was actually taking the time to go, like, you want to join a gym? Well, why? What is it you want? And so I got to tell them the criteria. And they even challenged me. Like, they didn't just accept it. They were like, well, okay, so you want something that's close by. But if we can actually get you a proper plan and get you the results you want in 90 days, what's more important? That it's closer or that we can get you the results? Well, the results, okay. So they're actually like taking the chance to actually challenge what I want. And then it's also like, well, what style of training do you do? Oh, well, I've done blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, what if you did this style instead? Oh, well, tell me more. So instead of just like taking what I say, they're actually asking questions, challenging me, working out what's better. And then it was straight into, okay, well, if that's good, we've got a program now. Let's just get you booked on the first one. And then you could, so they've already onboarding me. And I'm going, I like this person. I like the process. So then none of the other places stood a chance because this person understood me, asked good questions, got me to project in the future of what I wanted, got me to get very clear, and then elegantly moved it into an onboarding experience. So I'd already made the decision at that point, and it was just like, so the decision wasn't even like yes or no. It was how many days a week? When do you want to get started? It was a different question. So that just kind of goes to show, no matter whether it's big ticket or low ticket, the actual having somebody who can ask you questions and get you clear and get you clear on your priorities, because most people who are buying, like I'm certainly aware that I wasn't aware of necessarily what I was wanting to buy until I got asked the question. And once I got asked the question, I was then like, oh, hang on, what am I actually buying? Like, what do I really want here? And that was super important. And that's the same, like whether you're buying a car, a watch, a coaching program, it's like, and that comes down to what you were saying before, Simon, is like the true expert will kind of, they'll still ask questions, but they'll ask it about a process. So obviously this guy knew all about the nutrition and training program. So when he's asking me and he's like, well, what about this instead? Or if we could get you this result, I'm suddenly going, I've not been asked those questions before. This person obviously knows what they're doing. I've got to give them a certain degree of trust that they know what's best because, not because they're pointing at their diploma on the wall or going, I studied in PT college, but they're asking good quality questions. And so now whether that was a script, whether that's something they actually just like learned or had written down, I would assume probably, but it felt just like a conversation. It felt like they really wanted to serve me. And so they're asking the questions as part of that process. So if you'd have asked me like, oh, well, was that a sales script? Did they have a script? Was it a sales call? Was it I'd have probably said, don't know, not sure. It just felt like a good conversation. And it felt like the person cared. And that's ultimately the thing, isn't it? Whether you've got a script or not, does it seem like you care? And you're not just selling something.
I think this is the emotionally most important thing. I care about you. No, I, you know, what you know matters after I know that you care. So if you know a lot of stuff, that's not helping me. But if I know that you care, now I care about what you know. So I will listen. I will ask you. You have challenged me. Oh, there are different ways of training, and you are actually giving me some ideas. You are actually seeing that I am in a situation, but I could change the situation, and you want me to help explore that. Okay, you actually care, because you could say just, hey, check it out, train half an hour and let. No, you're challenging me, you're exploring, you're asking. So you actually care. Okay, we're on to something now. Let's continue.
Well, it shifted my buying decision as well, because if you'd have asked me before, I would have said, I'll sign up with whichever one's closer. This one's not closer by a long stretch, but that suddenly didn't matter to me. Once the questions have been asked, my priorities shifted. So then suddenly what I would have previously thought of as being my highest buying criteria shifted to be, actually, does it matter if I'm an extra 10 minutes driving? No. What matters is the community and the results. So that's the thing as well, is that having this process, it can shift how people buy or why they buy, because they suddenly realize what their true motivations are, and they probably didn't know that before.
This is actually one of the questions on my sales script, is what are your criteria for deciding what's best? Mm. How are you weighing those criterias? How do they stack up to your overall business? So that's in the importance bucket. In step three, I ask those questions. And then step four is the cost of inaction. What happens if you do nothing? Because what people sometimes forget is, in the sales conversation, who is actually your enemy number one? And they think, oh, it's a competitive offer. No, no, no. That comes later. The first one is the status quo. Is they doing nothing? You don't have to buy a gym membership. You can just do whatever you were doing the whole day without having a gym membership. So the alternative is not the other gym. The alternative is you not committing to any annual membership in a gym. Just go biking, go running. That's the alternative. So it's always the status quo that is the main alternative. Just doing nothing or doing it yourself. You can just go running, biking, swimming. You don't need a gym. So that's the real alternative for every buyer. Doing it themselves, doing nothing, doing what they were doing before. And that is step four, cost of inaction. Okay, what else can you do? Oh, and how is it going? Oh, you can do nothing. Yeah, what happens if you do nothing?
Well, I think I've heard you point out before, because it's such a good point, is that nothing in the world is ever stable. Like, we think it is, but things are changing all the time. Like, if you're in business, if you're not making plans and doing stuff, your competitors are. In life, like with the gym, like this time next year, I might be in the same situation if I do nothing, but I'm definitely going to be 1 year older and probably less mobility, more weight. You know, if I do nothing, it doesn't just mean everything stays the same.
Oh,
it means there's going to be a consequence to doing nothing. Which consequence do you want to deal with? And so, as you said, like, doing nothing is a choice, but it's not a choice without consequence. And yet we don't often think about that. We don't often think, oh, in a year's time, things won't be the same. You know, if I don't make a decision, things are going to be different. Competitors are going to be doing stuff. The world's going to be turning. The economy's going to be, things are going to be different. But you get a choice now on how you're going to show up in the future. And as you said, out of a sales conversation or a coaching conversation, how many of us ever get prompted to think of this stuff? It's like, we often don't. We don't even think about it. So that's why, just to kind of reiterate what you were saying there, that's a vital thing to explore, because most people won't have considered the cost of inaction.
Yeah. In this week's Monday session, we had our vitality guru, Neil, who's starting a community. And so we explored questions that he can ask. And one question was, okay, you think investing in your health is expensive? What's the cost of illness? So, and this is a good example, right? You don't train for 6 months. You're not getting faster. You're not getting fitter. You're not getting more muscles. It's quite the opposite, right? If I train the same thing every day, first of all, I'm not getting faster in the next marathon. Second, I'm also not staying at the same pace, because if I have a pace 4.5 minutes on a mile, for example, and I train always the same, I'm not keeping the same pace, because I'm getting older at the same time. So I'm getting slower. My training is the same. I will be slower, actually. But the bias is towards thinking that things stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, as you said, so many of us don't consider that and don't take it into a consideration, and that's so important. Plus, often we don't even think in your important section about what's actually important to us. We may be aware of one or two buying criteria, but as I said, mine shifted after just one question, because I hadn't truly considered what I wanted, and I hadn't considered how important it was. And so then when my criteria of like, well, hang on, what's more important? Is it to, you know, be able to commute quickly, or is it to actually get the results? And so that changed the game as far as I was concerned.
I love this. And I learned a couple of things. We have also a lot of questions. I cannot answer all of these questions right now, guys, but I will ask them in the comments or wherever you are, on LinkedIn, on X, on YouTube. Just ask us the questions. I will do it afterwards. Next week, we will have a break. And then in 2 weeks, same places, we will talk about the next big decisions that you guys have. And that is, should you go solo and stay solo as a business owner, so that you don't have any headache and no problems with HR? Or should you build a team and have some problems with HR, but it's better for you? Let's explore if that's actually better or not in the coming episode. Thank you, Le Marketeur Extraordinaire, Alex Lowe, everyone, and keep rolling.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.